Welcome to Inside Flicks. This episode, we're going to review the new theatrical release, Birds of Prey. I'm your host, Mike, and I'm here with my brothers, Rich and Raymond. And this podcast was created for us to talk about film, which is our favorite subject. This episode is going to have two parts. The first half will be a non-spoiler review of Birds of Prey. What's the full title of this?
Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
And then the second half is going to be a spoiler-filled discussion on the film. And at the end, we're going to rank all the 8 DCEU movies. So right now, we're going to play a snippet of the trailer, and we'll be right back.
Are we ready?
Sure.
It's time for Gotham to meet the Birds of Prey.
I own Gotham.
He's building an army.
Unless we all want to die,
we're going to have to work together.
Hi, boys.
I thought you was just a pretty face.
Nothing gets a guy's attention like violence.
That felt pretty great.
All right, Rich, tell us about the film.
Set after the events of 2016's Suicide Squad, we see that Harley Quinn has just broken up with the Clown Prince of Gotham and is now marked for death. Margot Robbie is back to play Harley Quinn, and she's joined by the Huntress, played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead, the Black Canary, played by Jurnee Smollett-Bell, and hard-nosed Gotham detective Renee Montoya, played by Rosie Perez.
Okay, so before we go into our initial reactions, I'm curious, what were your expectations of the film and your history of these comic book characters? Personally, I was not a big DC guy. I was more of a Marvel dude, actually more of an X-Men dude. So I'm not too familiar with these characters other than the CW series Arrow. And my expectations were low at first. The trailers for this movie didn't make it look all that exciting for me. So I was kind of apprehensive, but the first reactions from the critics made me optimistic, and it gave me an impression that the movie might not be all bad. So I'm wondering, what was your expectations, and what's your history with these characters, Raymond?
I have a long history with these characters. I'm a kid from the '90s, and I grew up a huge fan of Batman the Animated Series. That's where Harley Quinn originated, and also Renee Montoya, and I love that show, and there was always Harley-centric episodes that were really fun, and those were some of the standout episodes. I grew out of that, and as I got a little older, but I got back into it, you know, with the Arkham games. They had kind of a new iteration of Harley in there that's kind of more in line with the Suicide Squad movie. And I really like that. I also found out about Black Mask through those video games. A really interesting mob character. And later on, I got into the Amanda Conner and Jimmy Palmiotti Harley Quinn comics, which is kind of in line with like the animated series version of Harley, but more updated. And I was very into that. You know, we got the Suicide Squad movie a couple years later, and you know, a lot of people didn't like it, but I personally really, really enjoyed the movie. It's a very different Harley from the, you know, animated series or for the Amanda Conner comics. It's kind of more like the Harley from like the New 52 Suicide Squad, but it was cool, and it made me excited for what could come next, because you know that movie was flawed, mm-hmm. but I knew it had a lot of good building pieces for what could come.
And your expectations were pretty high for this film?
Yes. But, you know, once we got the, you know, the trailers and stuff, I was a bit more apprehensive about the movie. I wasn't completely sold on it. I was sold on the Harley aspect of the film, but I wasn't really sold on everything else. And once the reviews came out, like you, Mike, I was actually pretty surprised.
Yeah, I was hoping it was going to be could be an awesome movie. Rich, same question: your expectations of the film and your history with these comic book characters.
Well, my history with it, I had no idea about it. Basically, I collected comics, but I'd stayed. These DC comics came out pretty much when I stopped collecting, you know, weekly or monthly or whatever it was. And I was just very lightly familiar with it. It's just mostly through Suicide Squad where I knew Harley Quinn's character by Margot Robbie.
Yeah, but I mean, also CW's series, the superhero series.
True.
Oh, yeah, that's where I really found out about, like, Black Canary. And
yeah, I was familiar with the Huntress also, yeah. But the Black Canary, and I never heard of Black Mask until this. And or Renee Montoya.
What was your expectations?
On paper, way back when they first announced it, it sounded great to me. I liked Suicide Squad, so... I liked it enough. I mean, Margot Robbie was the best part of Suicide Squad, and she definitely deserved a one shot. So on paper it was great, but when I first saw the trailers, I knew the direction was different, and then when I saw the final trailer, I knew it was even worse. So
did you
see I believe the critics when the first critics came out, I was first hesitant because I think there was the embargo was set and they weren't supposed to release it, but they lifted it at the last second, whatever. They lifted it a little earlier than expected, and the reviews came out and they were mostly positive, so it changed my mind. I just thought it was bad trailers.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, me too.
Yeah, and of course.
Let's get into it. Let's get into our initial reactions. Ultimately, I was disappointed by the movie. You know, 20 minutes in, I was kind of liking it. I didn't think it was that bad. And, you know, I thought maybe, okay, this is a cheesy action movie. It's a, you know, if it felt like a guilty pleasure, but it progressively got worse. And by the third act, I had big problems with it, mainly because I didn't think the team up of Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey, they didn't fit well together. I thought individually each character worked well on their own, but together they didn't materialize in a cohesive manner, and their camaraderie felt forced. It felt like it was poorly patched on with a glue stick or something. Your thoughts, Raymond?
I think it's a very flawed movie, mostly in the screenplay, but I really enjoyed it, and I appreciate the swings it took, because even though this is basically kind of a just like a Guy Ritchie film, a wannabe Guy Ritchie film, I appreciate that they're kind of doing something like that set in the DC universe, like this kind of like crime comedy. I just don't think they 100% pulled it off. I think it really all comes down to the script needed a bit more developing. But I guess we'll get into that a bit more when we talk about the plot and stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
But I liked all the Harley stuff, personally.
Yeah, I liked the Harley stuff, too. I thought it felt like a Tank Girl, really heavily inspired by Tank Girl. Rich, your thoughts?
Well, I liked the world that David Ayer created in Suicide Squad, and I liked how that had like a realistic comic book feel to it.
Kind of like Expendables.
Yeah, well, maybe. But in this film, it just felt like they were more went for a cartoonish feel, and yet it was still done poorly. I mean, they even tried stealing the same vibe that the first Deadpool film had, but it came up short.
It felt like both Deadpool and Deadpool 2, grabbing elements of both movies. Again, when I was watching the film, I go, this feels like like Margot Robbie, who's a producer on the film, must have really loved Tank Girl, and because it really felt like Tank Girl, you know. So
yeah, they were going for Deadpool, but they ended up with Schumacher.
That's what I felt too,
especially by the end.
Let's talk about some of the characters in the film. Who was your favorite and who was your least favorite? For me, I think the worst thing in the movie for me are the villains. Roman Sionis, who's Black Mask, and Victor Saz, they weren't scary or menacing. I think first and foremost, movie villains have to be sinister or intimidating, you know? And they were kind of a joke. Raymond?
I thought they were fine. The worst character for me was Cassandra Cain, because there was no point for her. She's, I think, goes back to the story of the movie, but I just don't think she worked. And also, why was it Cassandra Cain?
Yeah,
that's true. Rich?
I just thought the whole thing was pretty weak altogether. Margot Robbie is...
All the characters?
Yeah, especially the characters. Margot Robbie was probably just the best one, and everybody else just fell flat. I mean, the direction was definitely fell flat, and it's Margot Robbie and the stunt team, the John Wick stunt team.
We'll get to the action scenes later, but yeah, go ahead.
But I'm just saying, those are the two that stand out in this whole film.
Okay, so let's talk about the plot a little bit. The plot really kind of revolves around this stolen diamond that once belonged to the Bertinelli crime family. And the diamond itself is kind of has embedded with some secret bank accounts to the family's fortune. I guess the Bertinelli crime family has a connection with the Huntress. I guess she's the last surviving member, right? Mm-hmm. I guess.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And after some questionable events, the diamond falls into the hands and into the belly of Cassandra Cain, who is this young pickpocket orphan girl who, I guess, winds up becoming Harley Quinn's sidekick. But, well, first she's her hostage, then her sidekick, and then ultimately Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey become the little girl's protector as they team up to fight Black Mask and his army. What do you thought about the plot? For me, I thought it was just felt unoriginal and just kind of like it feels like they were borrowing a lot of elements from different movies. Raymond, what's your thoughts?
Well, I'll start off saying, but what I liked about it, I liked the setup. I loved the beginning. I loved how it starts off with from her perspective, you know, telling her life story and then, you know, her breaking up with Joker. I thought that worked. And then obviously, you know, since she's alone, She's a target, you know, for everyone, all the enemies she made with the Joker. I thought that was a cool setup for the movie. She's alone now and everyone's after her.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was kind of funny how in the beginning, how, you know, they had her running into these goons in the beginning of the film. And, you know, they would have all these different interactions of, you know, what went wrong in the past between these characters. And that was all good, but once it really got to the story, once it really got to the plot, it really fell apart for me. I think what I would have liked is I think the movie needed to be just more simple or more complex.
Yeah, because it's very simple, but I think they treated the plot like it was some kind of complex caper film or something.
Yeah,
and it's
they did the same thing in Guy Ritchie's new film, The Gentleman.
Rich, your thoughts about the plot?
It was just a poor plot altogether. I mean, it seemed like it was rushed, and I think the filmmakers weren't ready for it, and they relied more on the stunt work, and the characters, they needed a lot more work.
It certainly feels like it needed a second draft or a third draft or fourth draft, whatever. Speaking of stunt work, let's talk about the action scenes. You know, there was these stories that came out that how the studio brought in John Wick director Chad Stahelski was brought in to direct the second unit. And I guess he also brought in his John Wick stunt team. What did you guys think about it? Me personally, I think there's some sequence were worked really well and then other scenes looked kind of cheap or looked like the TV series Arrow, but Raymond, what's your thoughts?
I thought pretty much all the scenes, if I remember correctly, with Harley Quinn were pretty good.
Yeah,
but unfortunately we don't really get that much with the other characters, and when you do, it's really in the end of the movie, and you see a little bit in the trailer, but I think the final third act action scene is one of the worst action scenes I've seen in the superhero movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, maybe in the past 20 years. Now it gets pretty bad when you get back to like Steel with Shaquille O'Neal and stuff like that. But it's really bad. And I think you're right. It feels like Arrow. But for the most part, I think it's just in that third act sequence. I think the Margot Robbie scenes were pretty fun and inventive. But want the birds. You want Black Canary. You want Huntress especially to be the to be the highlights when it comes to action. And those were really very, very disappointing moments.
So, well, certainly that scene with Harley Quinn with the bat, when she uses her bat, I think that was like probably the best action scene in the whole movie. Rich, your thoughts about the action sequences?
The action sequences were the only saving grace into the whole film. And I think because of the John Wick team assisting the stunt coordinator, but still the direction wasn't the overall direction wasn't as good as all three of the John Wicks. Most of the action scenes with Harley was just a good in the beginning, especially during the police breakout. But by the end of the film, it was like the stunt team ran out of steam at themselves, and the final act was just laughable.
All right, so this is playing in theaters. Would you recommend buying a full price ticket for this? Because personally, I think it's interesting. I don't know if I would recommend buying a ticket. I think I would wait. If I had a choice, I would probably wait for streaming or digital or Blu-ray. But if I had to go in the theaters, I would pay the matinee prices. But I don't know. What's your thoughts, Raymond?
I'd say it's a solid matinee. But if you're a big fan of Harley Quinn, especially from the Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Conner comics, I think maybe it could even be a full price if you don't have too much attachment to Huntress and Black Canary, because you could walk out disappointed with how those characters were handled.
Okay, Rich.
Yeah, you got to be a big fan of Harley Quinn and Margot Robbie to even buy a ticket for this film. If you're a big fan of Suicide Squad, you might be disappointed like me. And if you go in knowing that you're a huge fan of Harley Quinn, even through the cartoons and especially, then you might have a good time. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think certainly a younger demographic will probably have a more enjoyable experience with this film.
But that brings up, why is this movie rated R?
Yes, I was going to bring
that up. I know, that's true. And we'll talk about that in the spoiler section. But yeah, there's no reason for this to be a rated R film. This would have been a much better PG-13. And it doesn't really have any much gore or blood to validate the rated R rating. So let's grade this. Rich, what's your grade?
Around a C-, C, yeah.
I give this a C, Raymond.
I give this a C-, but I think I grade it a bit differently than you guys. For me, a C- is a lot more positive. It's like a school paper or something. So it's like it needs improvement.
C for me is like a mediocre film. I think this is a mediocre film. It's a watchable film for sure, but it didn't excite me. I was expecting some kind of bold original stuff, fresh stuff, and didn't get that. All right, so let's get into the spoiler section of this podcast. And so anyone's listening to this, this is going to be all spoilers. So, you know, if you haven't seen the movie, don't listen. So let's get into our spoiler section discussion. Here's my first question. They made this effort to make Harley Quinn more likable. Was that the right choice, Raymond?
For this movie, yes. Yeah, maybe not for James Gunn's Suicide Squad, but for this movie, yes.
I say that because I was thinking that I compared her character to Jack Sparrow. And Jack Sparrow in the original Pirates of the Caribbean films, he was like, and you know, straight out, you know, basically a villain. You know, he was a pirate. He loved being a pirate. He did pirate things. And in the sequels, they try to make him more likable, and they try to make him more of an anti-hero. And I thought he lost a lot of that qualities that we loved him for in the first place. And I feel the same thing is happening here with Harley Quinn. I get that this movie is totally different than Suicide Squad. She's in some kind of existential crisis. She's losing her identity. She's not sure. She even admits that she's, you know, not sure what her identity is. And that's because she's on her own for the first time in a long time. She's just broken up with the Joker. I don't know, Rich, what do you think? Was it a good choice to make her more likable, more and less, you know, the villain?
Well, I thought Margot Robbie herself did a good job acting wise, but the character that they really went through with the wrong direction, and they sort of like they did too much of a taming of the shrew with her, and Harley is not Harley anymore. I mean, she lost her mojo.
Yeah, I completely disagree. I don't think she even changed that much since the ending of Suicide Squad.
You know what it is? Suicide Squad is it has a much darker tone, and maybe yes. The tones, because the tones are different, we see it different in the character. But next question, would you call this a Birds of Prey movie?
No, but I mean, I would be okay with it if it was called Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey. That'd be appropriate, I think.
Because it really is not a Birds of Prey film.
It is
more. It's more like a prequel to the Birds of Prey film, right?
I don't think they really wanted to call it a movie Harley Quinn.
I don't know, Richard. Was this the right? You know, the title Birds of Prey. Was
no,
the
it
right
deserves. There's. I mean, even when I went up to buy the tickets, I said Harley Quinn. I think two for Harley Quinn or whatever it was. And
let's get into it. Like, because this basically. The Birds of Prey formation happens at the very end of the movie. We get this sequence where they become the Birds of Prey in the very, very end.
Well, right. I think the third act is, like I said, I think the most underwhelming part of the movie. And that's really when they come together.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had a lot of issues with the characters, but I guess we'll get to that in a minute, right?
Yeah, we'll just do it right now. Roman, Sionis, Black Mask, and Victor Sass are the main villains. Do you think they were the right villains for this movie?
Sure. I thought they anybody could have been the villain, really. I mean, I don't think it really mattered.
But the way they
just needed a crime boss, right?
But the way they're portrayed in this film, you think that was right?
Well, Roman Sionis is supposed to be taking this opportunity to rule Gotham now that the Joker has gone out of the picture. Literally, yeah. He's out of the picture. And I think he even does a decent job, but I didn't feel that he was menacing enough to be the big bad in the real Gotham. But in this version, which is definitely not in real Gotham.
It doesn't feel like Gotham.
No, it felt more like a bright and sunny downtown LA instead of a dark, gloomy Manhattan. And also the ladies, the Huntress, I kind of liked her initially. She was in the dark, but in this bright world, there's just no shadows for her to hide. And she just showed up, like said, hey, you know, hey. Mm-hmm. And totally wasted the opportunity from the comic book character. And plus, she's as a comic book character, she's worthy enough to have her own franchise.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, she was supposed to be like a female Dark Knight.
Well, let's talk about the main characters. Okay. Let me talk about the villains first. The villains, because this is spoilers. They die in this film. I mean, what do you think about that? Black Mask was killed. Victor Sass was killed. So
you know, I hated that they killed Black Mask, but I imagine that's the only way Ewan McGregor would do it.
I'm not familiar with.
And also, I also want to add, even though I hate that they killed Black Mask, I mean, much bigger villains have been killed in other comic books and one-off films that have bothered me to this day. And even in movies I love, like Black Panther, they killed off Ulysses Klaue for no reason. And this Black Mask is in my opinion, a much smaller character. So, I mean, fine, whatever.
Well, I'm not too familiar with Black Mask, but from what I understand, he never reveals his true identity, right? He always wears the black mask. Is there a way that he could come back as a different character with the black mask?
I don't know. I only know him from the Arkham games. I guess, but why?
I don't know. I think isn't he an iconic character? I'm not sure.
It's not that iconic. I think he really blew up. He's been around, but I think he really blew up in popularity with the video games.
Oh, okay. Well, Victor Sass, now he's supposed to be this sadistic henchman, and you know, for that's a cool character. That's a great way to use your rated R rating.
But that's a character that's allowed to be a one-off, also.
Sure, sure. No, but I'm just saying the way they portrayed in the film, he was so weak and it was so corny. He reminded me of Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs meets the Gimp from Pulp Fiction or something. He was like, he could have been something really cool. He could, you know, I from the images I saw online of the in the comic books, he has all these scars. And he could have been like this really sadistic killer, but in this movie, he's really just kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I definitely like Gotham's portrayal of the character more. But I had no issue with it. I mean, for me, Ewan McGregor and Chris Messina, their Black Mask and Victor Zsasz, to me, they fit in perfectly in the crime world that, you know, Jared Leto and Harley Quinn. Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn would fit in. If they, I mean, I really see it as like they're the two most powerful criminals in Gotham. I mean, I guess these guys would be right below them.
I see what you mean with the characters, but I think the portrayals were just horrible, just horrendous. I mean, I was laughing at them. I was laughing at one point, Ewan McGregor did some kind of crybaby thing. You know, he was like crying. There was one point where Victor Zsasz tells him that Black Canary told the cops on him or something, and he started crying. and he goes, "You want me?" He said something like, "You want me to kill him, boss?" And he goes, "No, just keep her there." Or, you know, he said something, and I go, "Why? You don't have no relationship with this Black Canary. I mean, it was like, just kill him, just kill her." It's just so weird. I just start cracking up. It's just a bad, bad portrayal of this character.
I think that comes down more to writing.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, the script. I have really major problems with the script, but I have problems with these main villain characters. They kind of totally ruined the movie for me.
I was fine with it.
Any other? You want to talk about any of the Birds of Prey characters?
Okay, well, the Birds of Prey is really what I have problems with. I did not like Cassandra Crane. I did not like Huntress, and. I guess the one I liked the most was Black Canary, but I mean, I was a little mixed on Journey's performance.
Yeah, I like
it. Rosie Perez deserved better than this.
What's that?
Rosie Perez deserves better than this.
100%. 100%. I think, well, Rosie.
The thing is, like, Rosie, I think, would have been perfect in this role in the 90s, you know? And I think a lot of people, you know, really would have. I think she was kind of the fan casting for this character back in the 90s, but I mean, now it's just,
yeah, they made her
make any sense.
They made her to a cop that no one respected, and that's just wrong. But
yeah, and also they made fun of her dialogue. They said, you know, why does she talk like a 70s cop movie or a cop show? And I go, why do you do that to Rosie? I mean, Rosie could really kind of really, she could have killed the part.
Yeah.
But she wasn't given any material to kind of work her magic. I thought
she was fine. I think, again, this just comes back down to the bad script, bad writing.
Let me talk about Huntress real quick. I liked the character, but I liked her in the flashback scenes. But when she came into in the third act, and really, look, Huntress is a very small part in this movie.
Yeah.
She's like only in the background. And Mary Elizabeth Winstead was good in the flashback scenes, but when she came in to, when she joined the other girls, the other ladies, she was awkward and she was kind of weird and she was supposed to be this badass assassin. Right. I know,
but that was the joke.
That's the joke. That was some joke.
It was intentionally awkward. It didn't work for me either, but it was like intentionally. It wasn't like, you know, Mary Elizabeth didn't fit in with the cast.
No, that's what I'm saying.
They were making her not fit in with the cast.
That's true. That's true. The character was awkward, and they always brought up this idea that she has anger issues or aggression issues or whatever. It just didn't work. That's why I think the third act.
Well, I think the character is a very angry character, but you know, they just didn't handle it right.
And no. also the Black Canary. I mean, you know, as being the Black Canary, you know, she has the powerful voice as a weapon, and she doesn't use it till the very end. I mean, that's such a simple special effect to use.
She passes out because of it.
She did.
They didn't do a good job of this, but I think she was just trying to keep it a secret. She was a metahuman that didn't want people to know she was a.
But even in that
freak, you know,
even in that alley fight that she had, She could have used...
She didn't want people to know she had the power. She didn't want people to know she was a metahuman. They didn't do a good job at portraying this.
Yeah. I don't know why they did that. It didn't make sense. That thing didn't make sense, that the fact that she only screams once in the whole entire movie.
Well, it took the power out of her. That's, I guess, the excuse.
Yeah.
Throughout.
But they should have kind of at least explained that in the first half of the film so we could at least understand it. Let's talk about Cassandra Cain. I mean... Was she necessary?
Not at all. Movie? She's a walking MacGuffin.
No.
But I'm saying the character, because Cassandra Cain is supposed to be later on in her life become Batgirl. And I guess at one point she becomes another character called Black Bat or something. But was it necessary to bring her in this
not at movie? All.
Not quote, at all. Quote,
well, let's start with Raymond.
Not at all. I didn't think it made any sense to have this character. If they were... first of all, I don't like the storyline. But if they were going to go with the storyline that I don't like, I don't understand why they had to make it a character that... that I want to add, I'm not a character that I'm not familiar with. I didn't find out about this character until they made character announcements for this movie, and then I Wikipedia did, and I'm like, that's a weird choice, you know, for instead of putting Barbara Gordon in there. But... regardless, I think if they were going to go with this plot, it would have made sense for it to be, I guess, one of the Robins, right? One of the Robins before he becomes Robin.
Oh, I guess.
They wanted it to be a girl.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, like you, I'm not very familiar with this character. Rich, what's your thoughts on Cassandra Cain being in this movie?
They should have never used the name Cassandra Cain for her.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and this... This character that they made up for this film is horrible.
Well, it feels like it was just ripped off from Deadpool 2, right?
Yeah. And you know, Shorty from Short Round from Indiana Jones, and a pickpocketer. I mean, kind of thing. Yeah. The whole movie wasn't shot well.
I thought there were some things that were shot well, especially early on.
But it was mostly like a when it was shot, it was mostly like a video. I mean, not a music video.
Well, let's get to it. I mean, Warner Brothers gave this movie to an untested director, Kathy Yan, and was that the right move? I mean, would you prefer this film to have been helmed by a more experienced filmmaker, or what's your thoughts on Kathy Yan's work here?
No, it's. Yeah, like you said, it's untested water, so it's a big gamble, and it didn't pay off for him.
I would say it was not, you know, look, the movie's not a train wreck. I think she did an admirable job. I would say the problem of the movie wasn't the direction. The problem of the movie was the script, and I think she did it's a Herculean task that she had to do here. You know, this is her first studio movie. And it's a big property film, you know, big DC property film. So I think she did okay for the circumstances that she was in. I think a more experienced director would have been a better choice. Raymond, your thoughts?
I think a more experienced director would have definitely made this better. But I don't think it would have made it that much better. Again, I think this is a really, really bad script. Because I'm trying to think of a director that I think could definitely improve on something like this. Somebody that has experience, and who comes to my mind, Matthew Vaughn. Okay. And I don't think Matthew Vaughn would still make this script that much better. I mean, have you seen Kingsman 2? I mean, I think this is better than Kingsman 2. I'll put that out there.
Well, the script.
You had said that Margot Robbie. You felt like Margot Robbie had a hand in the script and in the development.
Yeah, no, she came up with the story.
And so she has. There's a lot of. And she holds a lot of responsibility.
She came up with the story. She chose the director. It was her idea. What type of approach they wanted to take with this movie? From what she's been saying for a very long time since before the movie even started filming, she wanted this to be like a Quentin Tarantino movie. It ended up coming off more like a Guy Ritchie movie.
Yeah, 100%.
But that's what
I
they
agree.
Were going for. And I could see the plot being a little Quentin Tarantino inspired, but it comes off also more like Guy Ritchie inspired, like a Snatch. Yeah. Snatch mixed with that that 2012 John Leguizamo movie, Spun.
Well, like Matthew Vaughn, I mean, I think this film needed a Jane Goldman, I mean, assist with the script.
She doesn't get enough credit. She's a great screenwriter.
Yeah.
She should have written this movie. That's what would have saved it.
Okay, so what are some of the major problems you had with the movie? Anyone?
Cassandra Cain, The Birds of Prey, and the script. I mean, we've gone over it. I think maybe some of these characters could have been utilized well in the movie if the script had been better. I do like the flashbacks with Huntress. I do think those were utilized very well. I do think they were shot in a specific way that it made Huntress look believable and badass. But once it all kind of came together in the third act, it was very anticlimactic. And the way they decided to shoot it, it really showed that they weren't ready for it.
I would say the third act, the set piece in this film, where it's in a circus-like environment, or it's supposed to be the lair of Harley Quinn and Joker. For me, that looked horrible.
For me, I like the idea of it. I love the idea, actually. I love, because Harley and Joker always have hideouts everywhere, and it's in the abandoned amusement park. It's like the. Their fortress of solitude, if you will. Like, it's iconic. So I loved it. I just was very disappointed with the execution of it inside.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It felt, you said this the other day, Mike. It felt kind of like a fun house, or not a fun house, like a
haunted house.
One of those Halloween houses. Yeah, haunted houses on Halloween. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Rich, what's some of the major problems you had with the movie?
The script and the character structure. Yeah, the characters were all not conceived well.
If you had the power of changing anything in the movie, how would you improve it, Raymond?
I think they should have saved the Huntress reveal. I think we should have gotten maybe teases of Huntress throughout the movie, that she's like been taking people out. But I think in the end of the movie, when they're all in the funhouse and they're looking out the mirror, and they're scared and they're outnumbered, Harley Quinn, Renee Montoya, Cassandra Cain, and Black Canary. What I thought would have been cool is once these goons are inside the funhouse and they're surrounded, if these characters started to get taken out one by one, ninja style, kind of like Batman, and you see them fling up to the air and stuff.
From the shadows.
Yeah, from the shadows. And then you hear like Harley Quinn or someone say, "Oh, it's Batman." And then you get the final reveal, Huntress. And then, she takes out the final couple all by herself.
Oh, that'd be cool, because Huntress is a badass assassin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
going to say right now, that would have saved the movie. I mean, that would have made it a very good movie for me.
That would have been a much better ending. Yeah. 100% than just blowing up Black Mask into pieces by a grenade. But for me, I think they should have never really did the Birds of Prey stuff. They should have just, if they're going to keep Cassandra Cain, fine. But make Harley Quinn, because basically that Harley Quinn and Cassandra Cain, make her the sidekick thing. It worked okay. I mean, if they're stealing,
should have been another character.
Sure, whatever, that kid character. Because they're stealing elements from different movies, I think they should have just made Harley Quinn and that kid character, the pickpocket character, and made it like a comic version of The Professional, And just Harley Quinn has to train this little kid to be an assassin, and they have to team up, and they have to take, they team up to, fight off Black Mask and his army. So I think that would have made it much better, much more entertaining. Rich, you have any thoughts? What would you want to change if you could? How would you improve it?
Maybe like have Bruce come out and the hyena come out and kill the Black Mask, like Shiva from The Walking Dead.
how about Jared Leto? Would you want to see Jared Leto in this movie if it could?
Yeah, definitely.
I think he would have hurt the film because he was the big disappointment to everyone who saw Suicide Squad, and that would have hurt the film even more.
But maybe they could have redeemed him.
I like the character.
Yeah, I know, but everybody who had a complaint about Suicide Squad hated that Joker.
All right, let's get down to it. What was the best and worst part of this movie? For me, the best part was the Huntress backstory montage, which is, I think, was only maybe like 3 minutes long, but it had this like cool Kill Bill vibe. And when I saw that montage, I was like, wow, why aren't we watching that movie? I would love to see that movie. And, you know, and then afterwards, I'm like, oh man, I'm stuck watching this Birds of Prey movie. I really want that Huntress origin film. I think that's an indication of how disappointed I was, because they showed us a little glimpse of what could have been a really cool movie, the Huntress origin film. That was probably the best part of the film. Worst part, anything with Black Mask. I didn't like him. Or Victor Sass. It's just, those guys were just goofy.
Yeah.
Or, Raymond, what's the best parts and worst parts of?
I liked a lot of the movie, but for me, without a doubt, the best, and this is probably kind of what makes the movie disappointing for me, is because it's the beginning. The best for me is probably, I don't remember, maybe the first 20 or 25 minutes of the film.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the beginning. I like the setup. And then I like how we also get the flashbacks to Huntress in the beginning. I like how they were inserted into the movie earlier on. I liked how they kind of introduced Renee Montoya, because she was investigating a crime right next door to the Ace Chemicals lab that Harley Quinn blew up. I liked how they connected everything early on.
Yeah, that was good.
I think around the time that they did the Marilyn Monroe sequence, that it kind of started to fall apart for me.
Yeah. Oh, what was your...
My worst scene? Okay, but again, I liked a lot of scenes throughout the movie. The worst for me was easily the third act, the finale, the funhouse stuff.
Rich.
The best part?
Best and worst.
The sandwich. That's about it. The best part. I mean, other than that, probably the police shootout. The police shootout
was pretty cool. I mean, although it was weird that she used beanbags or whatever.
Yeah, but that's the nice Harley.
That's the nice Harley, yeah. Okay, what's the worst part for you?
Probably just Cassandra Cain. I mean.
Yeah, a lot of people were annoyed by her character. Yeah. I wasn't, but... I get it.
Well,
it
just comes off so annoying also, because we just had Deadpool 2. I mean, it feels very similar. Like, we just did this. And I feel even like when Deadpool 2 did it, it's like, even in Deadpool 2, in the opening of the movie, don't they acknowledge, like, okay, we know Logan just did this.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, and like now the DC movie's doing it. I mean,
other than that, the final battle is ridiculously bad shot. I mean, it was like Batman and Robin.
Although I like the roller skating chase, car chase scene.
Oh yeah, that part was good, but
that was cool. But
I think that was a reshoot. They had to make up for the disappointing funhouse scene.
Okay, final words, Rich. What's your final words?
No, it's a dud.
Okay. Raymond, final words.
I'm surprised you guys don't like it, because I really feel like, I want to say, if you like Suicide Squad, you're going to like this, but
no.
You guys are obviously proof that that's not true.
No, I mean, if you want me to compare this film to Suicide Squad, Suicide Squad is a much better film, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
For me right now, at this point, and I think Suicide Squad is a better film, although we all admit Suicide Squad has a whole lot of problems. The third act is horrible. But we all agree that we want to see the release of David Ayer cut, right?
Yes, because I think the Ayer cut of Suicide Squad is actually going to be a very different movie.
And we should say Birds of Prey should have been PG-13, but Suicide Squad should have been rated R.
Yeah.
Should have been flipped. Release that rated R cut of Suicide Squad. Let's start the campaign right now.
Yeah.
All right, so that was our final words for Birds of Prey. I guess just to recap, me and Rich gives the movie a C. Raymond, who likes it more than us, but he gives it a C-.
I think I wouldn't C- also, but I don't care.
All right, let's get into the ranking of all eight DCEU movies. Let's start with 8. Rich, go first.
8 isn't the best, or 8 isn't the worst?
8 is the worst.
The worst is
last on the list.
It's got to be Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, same here. Batman versus Superman for me too.
Same here. Oh, wait, right. Really quick. Let's score it.
Batman versus Superman?
I give it a C-.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Maybe a D plus. You know what? I'm going to change it. Give it an F. No. Because there's certain.
It's a 5 out of 10.
There's certain scenes that are really good in that movie.
I know.
That's why it's not a
0 out of 10.
Like all Zack Snyder films, there are just certain scenes that really, and certain action scenes are really great. Again,
it's so painful to sit through. I don't even think the movie's that long, right? It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes, but it feels like 3.5 hours.
What hurts me most is that it's based on the best comic book, one of the best comic books of all time.
Yeah,
The Dark Knight Rises. I mean, that's what hurts the most. Such waste.
Nothing in that movie is fleshed out. Everything just feels like completely like rushed and convoluted, and it's one of the messiest comic book movies I've ever seen in my entire life. And then I'll admit, of all the movies in this ranking, I think it has the best action scenes.
Yeah. That's why I have to give a C-.
No, but 10 minutes of action scene in a 3-hour movie, come on. No.
Okay, so you give an F. Rich, what's your grade?
A D. For Doomsday.
All right. Number 7. Raymond.
Oh, Man of Steel.
Oh, crap. Rich.
Number 7, probably Birds of Prey.
Me too. 7, Birds of Prey.
Interesting.
And Rich gave it a C.
I'm aiming towards a C minus. Yeah, but yeah, C, I guess.
And then mine's a C. What's your grade on Man of Steel?
D minus.
Wow,
it's a 6 out of 10.
Oh, so Batman versus Superman was an F for you?
Yes.
Okay.
A 5 out of 10.
This is harsh. This is harsh.
I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm. Full disclosure, I haven't seen most of these movies since the initial release.
Yeah. And I revisit them a lot and get angry each time.
All right, number 6, I'll go first. Justice League for me.
My number 6 is Justice League.
Oh, okay.
I'll go Justice as well because it's almost a tie to me.
Yeah, 4, 5, and 6 is a tie for me. Basically.
They're not tied for me.
Okay, I give Justice League a C plus.
Okay, I give Justice League a D, 6.5 out of 10.
Rich,
yeah, I'll give it a C.
I think Justice League people hate it, and they're justified in hating it. But I found it kind of just
because it has great moments.
It has great moments. I love I love the Cyborg story. I love the Flash story. I love them coming together. Aquaman story.
It's just everything else.
It's just
the third act and the
bad guy.
I like the third act.
No, what's it called? Who's the bad guy?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Steppenwolf.
Horrible. Just horrible. Just a train wreck. But I like the
Superman stuff. Everything with Superman.
Oh, Superman just was horrible. I mean.
What, really?
No.
The mustache.
Oh, okay.
Mustache gate was horrible. And if I was the special effects guy, working on the set, I would have told Henry Cavill, man, just don't smile in this scene. Just keep your mouth closed, please. Just leave it there, man. I don't think Superman needs to smile in this scene. Nah. Especially, no, don't use your teeth.
Yeah.
No, please don't use the teeth, man. All right, number 5. Rich, number 5.
Suicide Squad.
Oh. For me, it's Man of Steel.
For me, it's Suicide Squad.
Oh, shit. Grade it. Rich, what's your grade for Suicide Squad?
C plus.
Raymond?
D plus.
Come on. Really?
I mean, it's a messy movie. The third act is a complete mess. 6.8 out of 10.
Man of Steel for me is a C+.
That's way too high. Rewatch the
I gotta rewatch it. Maybe that'll go, drop down.
Also, rewatch the original two Superman movies. It's the same thing.
All right, number four, Raymond.
Oh, number four. Oh, you guys are gonna, your ears are gonna cry. Birds of Prey.
Oh yeah, Rich, you're number four.
Man of Steel.
Yeah, my number four is Suicide Squad, and I'm proud to say that. I love that movie. You know what?
Well, I love a five.
Huh? I know. Let's grade. What's your grade for Rich? What's your grade for Man of Steel?
Oh, it was Raymond first.
Oh, everyone knows.
Yeah, it was just C. Reviewed it. It was C minus.
Minus. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, C. C plus. I think it's the same.
Yeah, Suicide Squad for me, C plus. All right, just I believe that 3, 2, 1 is kind of identical. Let me see. Let me just shout out my 3, 2, 1. Number 3, Aquaman. Number 2, Shazam. Number 1, Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that's mine.
Not mine.
Oh,
hit it. Aquaman, Shazam, Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, that's mine too. I was reading it wrong on the Wikipedia shit. I give Aquaman and Shazam like a B+, and Wonder Woman A-.
All right, so Aquaman is a B.
B plus, Shazam,
both of them are B plus.
Right,
Aquaman for me is a B-. Shazam is a B+, and Wonder Woman is an A. Raymond?
Okay, I think Aquaman is a C+. And I think Shazam is a B. And I think Wonder Woman is an A-.
To me, the biggest surprise is Shazam, because I really hated Zachary Levi.
I mean, out of the whole kind of DCU or ECU, yeah. DCEU, the most surprise was Shazam, because
not for me.
I didn't think I was going to love it that much. And you know, it really felt like a Harry Potter kind of superhero movie. And
that was the most pleasant surprise.
Yeah, and it was about family, and it was cool, man. It was a good film. And Aquaman, I was shocked at how much I kind of dig it, because it didn't make sense at all.
It was a $200 million version of the Roger Corman films.
It just, like, it was, you know, Jason Momoa is just a charismatic guy, and you just love him. You just love him, man. So,
not much in Justice League, though.
No, I liked him in Justice League.
Yeah, I know.
But Aquaman was like, a lot happened, but nothing happened in the. It's like a lot happened in that movie, but nothing happened. You know what
but
I mean?
They're aware of it, though. Because, like, I mean, I've seen people criticize the movie for this, but I mean, they're 100% aware of this. Every time there's a piece of exposition in the film, there's a giant explosion during the middle of the exposition piece.
Yeah, there's a lot of mayhem in that
goes,
film.
And then it goes straight to a big action scene. But the action scenes to me were all incredible.
Yeah, yeah. It had fun. I had really fun with it. Now, Wonder Woman, I thought that's one of the great superhero movies of all time.
I agree.
And I, you know, like, I thought Gal Gadot was perfect. It's just perfect for that role.
And surprisingly casted by Zack Snyder.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just perfect.
Zack Snyder did good casting with everyone. That's the, well, maybe not the side characters, but with the main heroes, I think he did a great job casting.
Yeah. All right. So that's our review of Birds of Prey, which is now in theaters. And Rich, what other episodes are coming up? I think they were going to do some best of coming up soon.
Best of
Fantasy
20
Island.
No, I don't know about Fantasy Island.
That's your fantasy if we do Fantasy Island.
No, we're going to do some best of the year,
best of the decade, best of the 2019, and hopefully more movies coming out soon.
Where can the people find us?
You can find us on Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and other links. Anywhere you can find a podcast, just look up Inside Flicks.
And also you could go on InsideFlicks.com.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for listening. This is Inside Flicks. We'll be back with another episode. Thank you. Bye-bye.